This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. So the verse that really stands out, the ayah in the Quran that stands out for me for this day that I wish to share this morning bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, is in Surah Ar-Rum. In the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَعْدَ أَنْ أَقُولَ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. صدق الله العظيم. From among his signs. Now this part of the verse we usually brush over because we want to get to the juicy bit in the middle. But this part of the verse is quite significant because the verse is speaking about the bond between male and female, the bond between man and woman, and more specifically the bond between husband and wife. And Allah says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ, from among his signs, from among the signs of Allah. And the word used there is also ayah. And if you were listening attentively a moment ago, I just said, there's a verse in the Quran. Then I said, there's an ayah in the Quran. Because Muslims refer to verses of the Quran in its original language as ayah. And the word ayah doesn't actually mean verse. It means verse technically, because we generally refer to it as an ayah. But the literal translation of the word ayah is a sign or a miracle. So when we say that inna fi khalqi samawati wal ard, indeed in the creation of the heavens and the earth, wa ikhtilafi al-layli wan nahar, and the interchanging of the night and the day, wal fulki allati tajri fil bahr, you find that throughout the Quran, Allah, God Almighty, He draws our attention to certain phenomena that happens in the cosmos and other phenomena that take place within ourselves. Like He says, وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ, and within yourself, don't you see? So all of these phenomena that take place, they are described as ayat. Signs, miracles. How so? Because by witnessing and by observing that phenomenon, one's heart is drawn to one conclusion, and that is, there is a creator who created us. Because these phenomena, they are impossible to manifest themselves. They require a planner, they require an architect, they require a designer. And that designer is Allah, God Almighty, the only creator. There is only one creator. And this creator calls these things ayat. He calls these things miracles because they remind us of Him. Whether it is the sun coming up in the morning or the bird that is suspended in the sky. But what is interesting to note is that He also says in the ayah that we've quoted, that from among His many signs is an khalaqa lakum, is that He created for you, min anfusikum, from yourselves. So this goes back to the origin story, the story of Adam and Eve, Nabi Adam and Sayyida Hawa alayhi salatu wasalam. And in the Islamic narrative of the story, Allah created Adam from clay, from the earth. And then from the rib of Nabi Adam, Allah extracted the essence of His wife, Sayyida Hawa alayhi salatu wasalam. So He created from you, your spouse, litaskunu ilayha, so that you may find tranquility, so that you may find sakina, tranquility. You can feel as though you are at peace, as though you are fulfilled. That hole that is prevalent within a heart of the person not in Sakina, that hole will be there and it will be a gaping hole. It will feel as though there's something missing. But then one gets married and you find litaskunu ilayha, that you are able to achieve that tranquility. So this is the first lesson in the verse, is that our marriages in Islam are supposed to be signs of Allah. And my first prayer for you today, the married couple, or the soon-to-be married couple, is that Allah makes your marriage one of His signs. That when people look upon you, they are amazed at how beautiful a matrimony can be between two people. And they are reminded of God through that marriage. And this is what we should strive for in all of our marriages. And then there's a funny side of it as well. It's so miraculous that this man and this woman who are strangers to one another can get along and not kill each other, that it is a sign of God. It's a sign of God. But the sign is not only in the fact that they can live together. The sign is that they live together in tranquility. That the husband brings peace to the heart of his wife. And the wife brings peace to the heart of her husband. This is not the default. This is not like anyone who gets married will automatically attain this. No. Ask those who are married if they got that. Inshallah they do. But this is something that we must strive for. We must strive for it. Often Allah, God Almighty, teaches us prayers in the Quran, right? And often we use those prayers as litanies for ourselves. So we will pray and then we will ask, right? But we overlook the fact that those prayers, they are also filled with lessons. Because when God tells you, ask me this, then that's tantamount to God saying to you, aspire to this. Because if I'm telling you to say this, that means I want you to want this. And the prayer that he teaches us in relation to our family and our marriages specifically is Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata a'yun waj'alna lilmuttaqina imama. O our Lord, grant us from our spouses and our offspring the coolness of our eyes and make us the leaders of the righteous. So we can reduce the prayer to simply something that we should say and we should ask God after the prayers and at special occasions. We could do that. Or we could look at the lesson contained therein, and the lesson contained therein is what? That when we seek the coolness of our eyes, when we seek that tranquility in life, when we seek to be in our comfort zone, our safe space, the space that we can within it let our hair down and be ourselves and relax and find tranquility, let that space be manifest within my relationship with my spouse and with my children and not elsewhere. That lesson is contained within that prayer. But what we really want to know for the married couple to be, and for us, some of us who are married already, and others who perhaps intend to get married one day, we want to know, so how exactly do we get that? And again, in this verse of Surah Ar-Rum that we initially quoted, we find the recipe there, beautifully laid out. Of course, we can say, easier said than done. But if the recipe is simple enough, that means that any of us could put that together. So Allah says, وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. And He, Allah, God Almighty, He places between you love and mercy. Love and mercy. And this verse is very special for many reasons. But to me, personally, in my own reflections of this verse, it's special because it is unexpected. Had it been up to any human being to come up with a recipe for success in a marriage, we would have come up with all you need is love. In fact, we made a song about it, and we made it famous. All you need is love. But that's not true, because you will love some things, and for other things, you will not love them at all. You will notice within your spouse, because this is a different human being with a different background and a different upbringing and different nurturing and different values and different qualities, you will notice certain things that will make you fall head over heels, mashallah. And expressing love in those moments is the required response. You see something you love, you respond by expressing love. And that's easy. Anyone can do that because it comes naturally. But the surprising part about the verse is that it does not limit the recipe upon love. Because when you get the rose, right? When you get the rose consists of the petals, but it also consists of the stem, some leaves, and even thorns. And you have to take the whole package. You have to take the whole package. You can't ask the rose tree, you know, just give me the petals, I don't want your thorns. But when it comes to those thorns, when you start noticing within your spouse, but I don't really like that quality, that's new, didn't notice that 6 months ago, you know, where's this from now, right? When you start noticing the things that are not quite to your taste or your desire or your liking, are we going to say then all you need is love? Because that's not realistic. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةَ وَرَحْمَةَ. This is why it's divine. Because the divine knows that love is part of the recipe, but you also need mercy. And this mercy, this quality of forbearance, this quality of I can tolerate, I can bear this. And to express that mercy, that you are human, I am human. You accept me with my mistakes, with my flaws. So I accept you with your mistakes and with your flaws as well. Because if I expect that my Creator should overlook my flaws and my mistakes and my weaknesses, and He's given us each other as a responsibility, then we too need to manifest that mercy with one another. So for the good times, the love is sufficient. And when times are not so good, or when qualities are not so to our liking, then it requires of us to show mercy. And this delicate balance between these qualities is essentially the recipe for a successful marriage. And then at the tail end of the verse of the ayah, Allah says, "Inna fi dhalika la ayat." Indeed, in that, in this exchange, there are signs, plural. Because this won't only manifest itself in one way or within the next month or so for the honeymoon period or for the year after that or for special occasions. This manifests itself every day, all day, in various ways. And it is always up to us to look within and ask, what is the recipe for success in this moment? Am I to demonstrate love? Or am I to reach within and find that mercy and express that? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, he gave us the best of examples as to how to live our lives. And for Muslims, we follow in his way, whether we understand it or not, whether we agree with it or not, we submit because we are all trying to figure out what's the best way to live life. And we believe that his way is guided by God, as is the case with all of his prophets and messengers. That if you take any of them and you were to follow them and their ways of life, you would be living a guided life. So we ask, how did he view marriage and how did he express the view of marriage for all of us? And to sort of summarize it from various lessons, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he informed us that belief and faith has various manifestations. But the best of belief, the best faith, أَكْمَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِيمَانًا, the believers who have the most complete faith, أحسنهم خلقا, are those who have the best character. So I started off by saying I know Evan to be someone with exemplary character. But ma for this Evan, the test only starts now. So that is a bit premature. The best believers are those who have the best character. وَخِيَارُكُمْ خِيَارُكُمْ لِنِسَائِهِمْ. But those who are really the best are those who are best to their spouses. You see, the trick here is that it's easy for me to meet the Mawlana or the Sheikh in the Masjid and smile and be kind and be compassionate and be merciful and meet the Musallis and meet my colleagues at work and so on and so forth. Whole day, I can put up this facade. But when I get home, the jubba comes off and the turban comes off and the miswak comes off and the khufs come off, right? And then what manifests? The real me. And the character that comes out then and there is the character that your spouse is witness to. In another way of expressing it, if you want to know which version of you will be judged by God Almighty on the day that you meet Him, the answer is, it is the version of you that your spouse knows best. So your true metal, M-E-T-T-L-E, the true worth, your true strength, is that which you demonstrate to your spouse. And this is the model that Islam puts out as the model of marriage. It's not just a place for fun and games and romance and candlelight dinners and walks on the beach hand in hand and all of those things. Look, the candlelight dinners might be necessary considering the load shedding situation. But the reality is it's really a journey of ups and downs, of ebbs and flows. And you have to ride that wave. You have to ride that wave. And in riding that wave and in showing your mettle, you are really developing who you are. And this is why today, as you recite the words that I'm sure you've been practicing quite frequently, what you are actually doing is you are saying to your Creator that, oh my Lord, as you've taken me on this journey of life till this point, you now take me further on this journey, and it is now my responsibility to ride with you and to make sure that I complete my faith. Because I believe in you, so my faith now has an opportunity to come forth with not just me, but with the family, and you carry that family along with you. And with these words, we pray and we ask Allah, our Creator, to guide this marriage, to bless this marriage, to make it a means of being a sign of his holiness, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that when people look upon this couple to be, inshallah, that they are reminded of their Creator. We ask that Allah place between the couple to be love and mercy, and that He guides them further on their journey of life. Ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen. We will now ask Maulana Shabir to read the Khutbatun Nikah, and I know that there are those among us who follow other faiths, and just to give an understanding as to what is happening here, we started off with recitation from the Quran, and the recitation of the Quran is very sacred to us because we believe it to be the word of God, literally in its original form. Through that, we seek His blessings. What I've done is I've attempted to give some of the meanings of what is contained within the Quran and the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, as is relevant to the occasion. What Mawlana Shabir will be doing now is reading a sermon, which is also a practice of the Prophet, and in it there are again verses of the Quran and some teachings of the Prophet, peace be upon him. It's done in Arabic, and it's basically an admonition or a homily around being conscious of God in every aspect of life. That really sums it up, right? And after we conclude with that, bi'idhnillah, I will then commence with what we call the contract of the nikah, where we speak to the wali of the bride, right? The father of the bride, who is her. He is her guardian. He's been looking after her. He's been taking care of her. And she has this bond with him that nobody else has. And he then will ask myself to be his proxy, right? His proxy in marrying his daughter off to Evan for the agreement that they've made between one another. And he's handing over this guardianship that he's been handling over to Evan, who will then become his son as well. And that would conclude the essence of what we are doing here today. And then finally, we'll have some prayers and some blessings that will be read thereafter, inshallah. Bismillah.